Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I always enjoy the opportunities God gives for me to speak in various places around the country and even sometimes in other countries. I recently had the opportunity to preach at one of my favorite churches in the world, Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, where Michael Youssef is the founding rector and a dear friend and prayer partner of mine for many years. Today's message was preached there in July of 2018, and I am so thankful for the way that church supports the ranch with their prayers, with their finances, and by sending young people from Atlanta to the ranch in order to have an encounter with Jesus Christ and His love in this place. As you listen to today's message, I pray that God will speak a word of encouragement and comfort to you. We'll be talking about Lazarus. You know, we're familiar with the story of Lazarus. We've all heard the name. We know that he died and Jesus brought him back. But sometimes we forget some of the details, don't we? Let me read from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44, and then we're going to talk about what God has told us in His Word. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. And this is God's word. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light.' After he had said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out.
I don't think most of us would readily sign up to live the part of Lazarus. I mean, it's really cool to be brought back to life, except the part about having to die first, right? Well, I look at Lazarus' life and I see a guy who probably had more than a few disappointments. As best we can tell, he was a single guy. He may have been a widower or he may have never married. But he lived in a home that's described as being the home of his sister. It was the home of Martha. That's the way it's described in the text. You read Luke. But he lived at his sister's house, single man, no kids, just his two sisters living there in the house, and Martha's in charge. That would be a humble position to be in. But Jesus loved him. And then when Jesus began his ministry, he called together his disciples and chose 12 to be the apostles. And Lazarus didn't make the cut. You ever thought about that? Lazarus did not get chosen to be one of the 12. Just let that sink in for a moment. Because some of you know what that feels like all too well. And in those times when it hurts that somebody else got picked again, you may feel like maybe God doesn't love you. But Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loved him. And he still wasn't chosen to be one of the 12. We don't know a lot of the details of Lazarus' life. This is the big story. This is the central story about Lazarus. And what we learn about him at the beginning of the chapter is he's sick. But he's not only sick, he's seriously ill. In fact, he's in danger of dying, but his sisters tell him, "We're going to send for Jesus. You know he loves you. You know that he heals people. We've seen the miracles. We're sending word to Jesus." And Lazarus lay there getting worse. And Jesus didn't show up. It wasn't because he was too far away. It wasn't because he had some other pressing engagement. He chose not to come. And Lazarus is lying there, labored breathing, wondering, when's he going to get here? I know they got word to him. Where's Jesus? If you live long enough, you will go through things and you will wonder, where's God in this? The disciples would ask Jesus one time while he was sleeping in the boat, "Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Martha would ask Jesus when she was busy in the kitchen and Mary wasn't helping, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work?" I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I believe I'm safe in saying, if you know the Lord, not if you don't know the Lord, that's a whole other subject, but if you know the Lord, haven't there been times when you wondered where he is, why he's not doing what you think clearly God alone could do, and he could do it so easily, and why doesn't he do it? Where is the Lord? Why doesn't he show up? Lazarus died waiting for Jesus to come. Now, see, I would not have written the script this way. I would have maybe let him get sick, you know, maybe even get to the labored breathing stage, but then Jesus would come in and boom, everything changes. That's what Martha had in mind. That's what Mary had in mind. And no doubt, that's what Lazarus had in mind. But that's not what happened. Jesus deliberately waited until Lazarus was dead and buried. And then Jesus came. Oh, I thought Jesus loved him. Jesus does love him. So Jesus is just late? No, he was right on time, just not their time. He only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. God's timing is not like ours. And God's plan for us is often not what we would script. Amen? So if you want to learn some lessons from Lazarus, those are two very important ones. But then when Jesus shows up, he meets with Martha, he meets with Mary, and then he says, "Show me where you have buried him." They take him to the entrance to this burial cave, and Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." And Martha, always commander-in-chief, says, "Oh, no, Lord, not a good idea. There's going to be a bad odor. He's been in there 4 days, okay? I mean, he's really dead." And Jesus said, "I told you, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God." So they roll the stone away, and Jesus issues a command, and that is, "Lazarus, come forth." So he comes out, bound from head to toe, and Jesus says something. He said to them, "Loose him and let him go." When a person gets saved, we pass from death to life. But most of us still have a lot of grave clothes. A lot of stuff that pertains to before we were brought to life. And that stuff binds us and keeps us from the freedom that God calls us to in Christ Jesus. Our counseling center at Wares Valley Ranch has this text as its theme because our first hope for the people that we counsel with is that they will come to know Jesus, because a lot of them don't know Jesus. By the way, thank you for not only supporting us financially, but sending children from here in Atlanta to Wares Valley Ranch, because it is a joy to get to minister to these kids and to see some of them come to faith in Jesus Christ. But our goal in the counseling ministry is also that after they come to know Christ, and now there's new life, eternal life in them, they would be getting out of their grave clothes. And for that, we need some help. You don't just pray with somebody, a sinner's prayer, and then say, "Well, God bless you. You and Jesus now have a good time from here on." No, when we come to faith in Christ, we need some help from others to get free from the stuff that binds us that had to do with when we were dead. Amen? And so it is the responsibility, according to Jesus, at least in this situation, it is the responsibility of those who are alive and standing nearby to come alongside and to help Lazarus get out of his grave clothes. But there's something else about this that a lot of people don't think about. What was Lazarus wearing under his grave clothes? You don't wear anything under your grave clothes. They're grave clothes. And one of the things that happens as people start getting free from their grave clothes, and grave clothes, by the way, can smell bad. Even if the person's come alive, the grave clothes are still dead. You got to deal with some smelly stuff if you're going to help people who are new Christians get free from the stuff they used to be into. But the person who has gotten saved also has to be willing to be vulnerable, to be exposed, to be open and honest. This is not an exhibitionist. This is somebody who was dead and is now alive and doesn't want anything to do with what was their past. Amen? Not still clinging to sin and saying, "Well, that's just part of who I am." No, that's who I was. Read 1 Corinthians 6, and you see this list of people who are not going to enter the kingdom. And it says, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been made new. God saves people out of all kinds of sin, but he saves us out of that gunk, that deadly stuff. And so Lazarus gets helped out of his grave clothes by the people who are standing there, and suddenly he has freedom. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't go put some clothes on, but it does mean that they helped him get out of the stuff that pertained to death. And when you come to Jesus Christ, he doesn't just want to forgive you and you continue in sin. God forbid, Romans 6 says. But you need to be robed in righteousness, not still trying to cover up with the stuff that smells. Now, Lazarus was brought back to life, but he had to die again. Lazarus died because Jesus didn't resurrect him, he resuscitated him. He brought him back, he demonstrated his power over death, but the only one who has been resurrected is Jesus Christ, and he lives and reigns forever. And it is his resurrection that is our hope, not Lazarus's. Jesus shows us something greater. Jesus completely conquered death and hell for us. And as a result, we can live with confidence knowing that death is not the end. The fact of the matter is that Jesus has already demonstrated once and for all the power of the resurrection. And it is that power that is now at work in us to give us the capacity to say no to sin, no to self, and yes to him. He's the one who's changing us from the inside out so that we can help each other out of our grave clothes and walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That is why we rejoice. It's not because we hope that because Jesus can heal, we're never going to die. No, it's because the one who believes in Jesus will live even if he dies. That's what Jesus said. Jesus says, everyone who believes in him will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Not talking about our bodies. A grain of wheat has to die in order for the new to come forth. And those of us who are alive when the Lord returns, we're not going to go to heaven in these bodies. Our bodies are going to be transformed, replaced with something far more wonderful. And the glory of what God has prepared for those who are in Christ Jesus is beyond what we can comprehend. So, when I think of Lazarus, I think about a man who certainly knew disappointment, but whose life was choreographed by God to become a powerful, powerful picture for all of us that what the world calls defeat can be a door to victory. You and I don't have to fear death, and we don't have to fear life, therefore. If we're trusting in Jesus Christ, our future is secure because Jesus Christ is alive and Jesus Christ is Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.